Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
In our business, when we've got a credit card is when they change from a suspect to a prospect. The whole idea behind direct response marketing is, look, you're buying customers at a discount. You're not going to go out there and be stupid with your money, otherwise you'll never make it.
The title of this interview is called How to Think and Grow Rich in Today's Society, an interview with Ted Siuba. It's actually two interviews all wrapped up into one. When Ted Siuba made his first internet sale in 1994, he knew he could never go back to being a professor at a California State University. So he immediately quit his job and he has never looked back. Today, Ted is not only considered a pioneer in the internet marketing, but also the go-to guru in his field. So in this interview, I grill Ted on the finer points of information and internet marketing. Ted has just written a book called The New Think and Grow Rich. So we also go over how he updated this Napoleon Hill classic. When Ted was teaching Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, he noticed a lot of people were struggling with the outdated concepts and wording of the famous 1937 book. So he looked into public domain and copyright issues and found that he could legally make an updated version. And in this interview, you'll hear all about Ted's book and how it incorporates the current philosophies of The Secret to help you think and grow rich in today's society. You'll also hear how Ted tests his prices and makes his internet sales. You'll hear everything you should know about Napoleon Hill and why he's still popular today. You'll hear how to use the law of attraction in your subconscious to achieve success no matter where you are today. You'll learn all about public domain works and how long a copyright lasts. You'll also learn the framework of Ted's marketing model. Ted describes his marketing model as being similar to a funnel system where you're drawing a lot of people in at the surface with something free. Then you offer progressively larger packages designed to entice customers at every price level. And in this interview, I grill Ted for specifics on this marketing model and other internet marketing techniques. For instance, what is Ted's favorite method for generating sales? Referrals, JVs, email? Find out what really works. What about if you're only writing ebooks? Are you leaving money on the table? You'll learn the best ways to generate leads on the internet. You'll learn how to make a difference in your life just by writing your goals down. You'll learn tips Ted would give someone who is starting out with absolutely nothing. And you'll learn action steps that will get you focused and on your way to success. Ted Siuba is an internet marketing giant. And according to him, the first step to success is creating an image of achievement. So sit back and listen to the strategies Ted uses to think and grow rich and how you can use them too. Now let's get going. Give me just a quick background on who is Napoleon Hill and why did this guy write this book?
That's great. And actually, at the moment that we are having this conversation, Michael, we are celebrating 100 years of growing rich. It was in 1908 that an ambitious Napoleon Hill, a journalist, went out on his very first assignment ever for a new company. Now, he had been writing articles and doing stuff back home in Virginia, getting published in the weekly newspaper in Virginia, but here he was in New York City. First job, first assignment, he sent out to interview Andrew Carnegie. And, you know, I mean, it could have been like so many interviews. You know, it's 60 minutes, 90 minutes of nice stuff. Thank you. Man, I am impressed. But that very first interview, there was a chemistry there between the two. Andrew Carnegie was the richest man on earth. He was elderly. He was in an epoch where he was granting his money away. I forget how many libraries today, but I think it's over 1,000 libraries owe their existence to him. So he was in a time where he was wanting to contribute. He had already done his real business stuff. Anyway, a deep friendship developed, and what was supposed to be an hour interview turned into 3 days. That is, Carnegie invited him to stay over for the evening, invited him to stay over for the next day, invited him again, and during this time, sharing with him what he knew about creating wealth. Now remember, Carnegie knew how to do it. There wasn't any question. He was the richest man on earth. But he couldn't be bothered and wouldn't be bothered and really didn't even have the capacity to put it into a philosophy. Again, we're not all good at the same things. And so someone else comes up, mastermind, Mr. Hill was fascinated. Near the conclusion of this interview, Andrew Carnegie pulled out a stopwatch, which Napoleon Hill didn't know about. But Andrew Carnegie was thinking, look, I'm going to invite this young gentleman to write the philosophy of the science of personal achievement according to Andrew Carnegie, right? According to Andrew Carnegie and the people like Henry Ford and Harvey Firestone and those that I'll introduce him to, right? And if he tells me within a minute that he'll do it, then okay. And so he says, okay, Napoleon, I believe we've had a long conversation. We're about to separate. Someone needs to do the project I've described to. I'm offering to let you do it. I'm offering to sponsor you with introductions. I'm telling you that it will probably take you a 20-year task. And I'm telling you that I will not pay you a penny. You'll have to do it. You'll have to figure out everything what you want to do. That's it. Do you accept this assignment? Click on the stopwatch. Carnegie was giving Napoleon 60 seconds. Principle number 7 of the New Think and Grow Rich. Decision. People who become rich, people who are rich, when they have enough information to make a decision, don't need any more time to think about it. Man, this was part of what he was teaching. 60 seconds. Within 28 seconds, Napoleon Hill said, Mr. Carnegie, I will accept your commission, and I will fulfill it completely. And so he beat the stopwatch that he didn't even know existed. None of us are essentially and basically different. Carnegie had just laid out some grand designs in very brief outline form and had asked for a major commitment that extended into the future from a person who did not have experience. Remember, this was his first job in a big city, his first assignment.
Do you know how old he was?
He was very young, because I know that that interview happened in 1908. I know that Napoleon Hill was born in 1883. That would be 25 years old.
Napoleon Hill was 25, okay.
Oh, by the way, I should have known that. He published Think and Grow Rich, which of course is the source document for the new Think and Grow Rich. He published it in 1937 when he was 55 years old.
Took him 30 years to get it published.
To get it published, yeah. Now, he did have the law of success previously. He was an information marketer, by the way. A lot of people don't know this with the passage of time, but he was making speeches and selling products at the back of the room. He had a course.
Was it his own stuff?
Yes, oh, definitely. And he was a number of different ways. He had a magazine. And, of course, what do you do if you've got a magazine? You write an article every month, right? Well, what do you do when you got 12 of them? Then you put together a book. This is the stuff of information marketers.
Clement Stone may have taken him under his wing. Those guys were in the seminars and the whole movement.
Napoleon Hill was coming to town. W. Clement Stone, who was recommending his book for everyone in his insurance company who attributed his own millions of fortunes to that book, said, holy shimoli, Napoleon is coming to this town, which happens to be Chicago. He says, I'm going to attend that seminar. He bought his ticket, he attended the seminar, and he made sure that they had an introduction, and that was the beginning of history.
So Clement Stone bought the book for all his insurance agents.
Oh, absolutely. Again, let's talk information marketing. That would be like you or I, or Stephen Pierce, or Armand Morin, or Anthony Robbins, or whatever. We're going to Seattle, and there happens to be a businessman in Seattle who wants to meet us. We're doing this presentation, a speech, whatever it is, and this guy makes connections behind the scenes to make sure that he's introduced to us. Napoleon was on the circuit, and once they began to talk, well, of course, it's the whole law of complementarity. They each had different strengths, different aspects, different things that if they could combine, they could make more money than they were doing separately. That's the mastermind.
Did you ever get a hold of any of Napoleon Hill's information products other than this book?
Oh, certainly. I've got a whole collection of them. There's 52 Weeks of Growing Rich. There's The Law of Success. There's another program which I don't remember because I've got it packed up, but I've got two different audio programs.
Wow, so Napoleon Hill, he was really hustling information products.
Man, I'm telling you, he was an information market. He was making his living, like you and I are doing, as a freelance person who had an interest in motivation, in success, and he liked to write. He liked to interview. This is all information marketing.
Now, was he a white guy or a black guy?
That was one of the big problems, that you had to be white American male, as he wrote it in 1937.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Now, somebody has taken the book and written Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, and they've also got Think and Grow Rich, A Latino Choice. And by the way, I am translating the new Think and Grow Rich into El Nuevo Piense y Hágase Rico. And we have the new book in Chinese outside of there. We have the new book going into Australia. We have the new book going into Korea. That part is easy, but no, he was definitely white, and that was one of the characteristics that I wanted to straighten out in that book.
In his products, were there any audio included? I mean, you've heard his speeches?
Oh, definitely. As a matter of fact, anybody can go to Amazon.com or eBay, of course, and plug in Napoleon Hill, and audio products will be a part of the mix.
Was he a compelling speaker? Because I don't think I've ever heard him speak, maybe one or two clips in the past.
That's interesting that you should ask that question. You know, I'll give you my opinion, and it's only my opinion, because obviously you can't argue with the success that he had, but I never saw him as a compelling speaker, and I've listened to hours and hours and hours and hours, and I am an instructor myself, and I have a lot of experience of listening, so now, he never faltered on delivery, on content, but I never saw him as being showbiz, as being extremely a closer, and these kind of things that make it sound compelling. You know, and we think, by the way, motivation is all rah, 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 and that's all compelling. That's my opinion. Now, that's not any ounce of disrespect, but just direct response to the question you asked.
I had heard that the original title of his Think and Grow Rich was Make a Boodle with Your Noodle.
Listen, that's what Mark Victor Hansen likes to say.
Do you think that's true, or are you not sure?
Well, I'm pretty certain it's not true, but do you want to know how that comes into the story?
Yeah, tell me.
Well, how that comes into the story is Napoleon Hill had a publisher. And again, you know how this world is, and there's a deadline date, there's a launch date. And in the publishing industry, you set your launch date months in advance because you got to have everything else ready, right? Especially years ago. Today, you can actually send a PDF file and get it printed the same day. But years ago, this was not the case. So anyway, the publisher was riding on Napoleon and saying, look, I got to have the title of this book tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. I've already given you 3 weeks. There is no choice. There is no chance. If you don't give me a title that you want, I'm going to call it How to Make a Boodle with Your Noodle. Now, was that a threat that was designed to trigger Napoleon? And Napoleon, now, here's the story. Again, this fits straight into the science of quantum, straight into the science of what we think about, we bring about, what we demand, we accept, we access. Napoleon says, holy crap. He says, I've got to have it. And so he's in his apartment. He's screaming at the top of his voice to the universe, right? You give me that title. I've got to have this title. If this publisher goes out with a How to Make a Boodle with Your Noodle, it's going to ruin me. I demand that you give me a title. He falls asleep 2 o'clock in the morning. He has a dream, wakes up, says, I got it. Think and grow rich. And, of course, not surprisingly, he had used that exact phrase several times during the book. So it was easy to call it Think and Grow Rich, which does, by the way, perfectly encapsulate the idea of the secret.
So what's different about the new Think and Grow Rich from the original one?
Basically, it relates to what we're talking about now. Anybody can read it in today's modern world. It's modernized. And they're not going to be put off by the antiquated language, by the sexist stuff. For instance, in the original, there were only 3 examples of women who had got rich, and 2 of them, by the way, were getting rich by marriage.
The good old-fashioned way.
Exactly. So, you know, all that editing stuff, I've lumped into that, and then empowering it with the quantum stuff where, you know, we can talk today. For instance, we can take a phrase of a religious leader. All of us in this culture know Jesus, for instance, you know, whether we're subscribed to that church or any particular brand of that or not. But one of the things he says is, oh, believe. He says, knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you shall find. These kind of things, which sounded like religious, mystical stuff before, what we found out with quantum science, where particles at their basis are only energy, particles in all our life does respond to our thoughts. We create what we think about. There's no other way. I mean, sometimes, you know, it takes a book to say this, and I'm not the first or the last one to say it, but it takes it into a level where we're saying, look, here's how you connect the dots. You know, chapter 1, get absolutely clear on what it is that you want. Otherwise, how can the universe If you're not clear, that's what you're transmitting. And that's what you're getting, and that's what you're dissatisfied. You're dissatisfied with the results that you're getting in your life, not even knowing that you created those results. We're chapter one. Let's start with getting clear on what contribution you want to make in this time of you passing around Earth, what you want this passage on Earth to deliver to you. Let's do that. And then we can start thinking about that, impressing that into the holocosm. And then there's two main structures to this, the self-fulfilling prophecy and the law of attraction. Through these two mechanisms, and there's more because there's 13 principles in the book, and those are only the major names of principles, but then there's more. But through getting that clear in your mind, heart, and soul, you can begin to trigger the self-fulfilling prophecy's law of attraction. You can begin to create and live the life that you would like.
Now, for our book publishers, our information product developers, and you mentioned it briefly, Think and Grow Rich was in the public domain, but still people may want to know, well, is it legal, and how do you do it, and doesn't someone still own Think and Grow Rich?
No, and you're right, Michael, that's one of the most common questions I get, because people say, oh, the new Think and Grow Rich? Wait a minute, isn't that Napoleon Hill? How do you do that? And again, this is a real lesson specifically for information marketers. It'll be good info for anybody. But when something is in public domain, which we usually abbreviate PD, you know, public domain, what that really means is they have lost the period of statutory protection for their intellectual property. Now, that sounds like jargon, but basically anybody creates a CD, an audio, a book, they've got a period of protection. And today, you know, I'm not really sure what it is. I think it might be 100 years or 70 years. Do you know? I don't know what it is exactly either, but I do know this. It starts at the moment of creation, and it lasts until a certain number of years after your death. I'm thinking maybe that it's 100 years if you're a corporation rather than a human individual. So that's good, but what it used to be was you could have two 28-year consecutive periods of protection. Well, the book Think and Grow Rich, oh, man, I got to tell you, there's a history on that, too, about where it bounced around. It was caught in a war, and it was caught in a divorce, and it was lost, and it was recovered. It's amazing, and that's the power and the ownership of a copyright. But what happened is in the second 28-year period, well, let me ask you, how many people do you know who have a tickler system that's going to remind them in 28 years that they need to renew the copyright?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it was renewed after the first 28 years.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it was never renewed.
It was not renewed.
Yeah, and what happened? Do you know?
Because it was not renewed, it fell into public domain.
Really? So any copyright that is not renewed, at least back in the earlier years, if it wasn't renewed, it's in public domain.
Yes. Here's one rule. Anything that you find that was printed prior to 1923... By the way, after 1923, you'd need to do a little bit of investigative work. Anything in the world you find printed prior to 1923 is yours. The universe has given it to you. The laws of humanity have said, look, this author was protected with his or her intellectual property, and now, for the betterment of society, it's open, free game, and everything else.
That's great.
The information that I'm giving you freely here, it cost me several thousand dollars to find out.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. You probably had to consult an attorney and really do your research before you started getting going with this.
You better believe that.
So what happened? What was the story? You said the copyright was lost, it was regained, it went through a divorce. Do you know of any stories about that second 28-year period?
I sure do.
Give me one.
You like one, okay. Well, when the book came out, the original Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill rather instantly became very well off. The book took off like gangbusters.
Let me interrupt. What really got it to take off? Someone had to do the marketing behind it. Do you know who was responsible for really making it take off? Did it have anything to do with Wilshire Books or any one great promoter? Anything on that?
Michael, at this time, no, but that's such a good question. I'm going to investigate it myself. I do know that there was a publisher. And because I'm in the middle of moving, I don't have my original copy where I can pull out and tell you exactly who that was. But there was a publisher, and they published it, I think, until the mid-60s.
Okay, so go ahead. What was the story with the copyright, the one?
Well, anyway, the book took off instantly. And Napoleon Hill became rather flooded with money instantly. And this changed several things in his life rather quickly. He bought a 100-acre, 110-acre estate out in the Catskill Mountains of New York, bought a Rolls Royce, started entertaining in lavish style, and I'm talking about having sometimes a couple thousand people there. And then along comes World War II, and the U.S. government, extraordinary times require extraordinary measures. They said there is no commercial book publishing.
During World War II.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, within several months, his income trickled to a stop, and boom, he found himself in economic distress. He lost his farm, he lost his Rolls Royce, he quit entertaining in style, and he went into a period of what, in today's world, I don't know what they call it then, but we would call economic recovery.
Wow, that's wild, okay.
Well, now there's another one that's even more fascinating than that.
Go ahead, yeah, let's do it.
That bit of history and insight is that at one point, again, you know, Napoleon was an information marketer, and he was an information marketer in the get-rich field, you understand, and people started suing people like him and saying, I didn't get rich, and I followed your instructions, and now you owe me $6 million. And so he said, whoa, this is back in the recovery period, right? I have too much money to be exposed like that. I've got to do some asset protection. Well, I know what I'll do. I'll put the copyright of this book into the name of my wife. And therefore, when they come after me, it's not mine, and so no big deal. Well, that was pretty good thinking when they were happily married, but they got a divorce later on. And so he didn't even own the book for a good number of years. His wife sold it to the original publisher, W. Clement Stone, who had a little bit more financial capacity, bought it back from and gave it back to Napoleon Hill some years in the future.
That's an interesting story. Were you one of the pioneers in the Internet?
Yes, I was one of the pioneers. And the fact is just because I happened to have that interest, it was 1994 when I saw the first GUI on the screen. People don't even use the word today, but it means graphical user interface, which, again, people don't use. But all it means is you can see what looks today like a normal website. Previous to that time, it was text and numbers only. It was for the military, for professor fanatics and some tech heads, but with images, with color and everything else. At that moment when I saw that, I knew where the future was heading. I was an instructor at California State University in Stanislaus, and I said, baby, I'm going to harness this to commercial ends. I made my first money on the Internet in 1994.
What were you selling?
I was selling a course that I had just quickly put together, information marketing. I'd learned about that. I'd taken one seminar. They said, man, you can put this stuff in a course and you can really make high dollars, which I did. You know, I followed the instructions.
Who'd you take the seminar from?
It was from Ted Thomas, 1994, San Diego, as a matter of fact.
Right. And so he was putting on seminars on information marketing.
He was.
Was that when he was selling his tax lien sales certificates?
That was pre-tax lien. He was moving from foreclosure at that time and really was experimenting with let's do marketing. And this was one of his marketing events, information marketing, which he still does from time to time, but it's no longer his main thing. Again, tax liens, you identified it. The event he put together, high quality, a lot of good people.
How much was it?
I thought it was a fortune at the time. I think they priced it at $3,000, and I negotiated with the person who sent me the letter and got it down to $1,100, and I still thought it was a fortune.
So you went to that seminar, and did it really open your eyes?
Success was instant. I came back and announced I was quitting my job within 3 weeks of having come back.
What was your job?
I was a professor at California State University.
They must have thought you were crazy.
They did. As a matter of fact, Michael, they thought I was so crazy. First of all, you know, in that business, there's only two ethical times of the year you can quit. You don't say, I'm giving you 2 weeks' notice. You say, I'm going to be leaving in the summer or in the winter, right, during those two breaks. And they always ask for lots of time so they can replace you. So I gave my notice with due time, but the office never contacted me, and I was getting worried right here down the end. With just a couple weeks ago, I contacted my department head and said, Fred, I'm worried. The office, they haven't contacted me. Then he rocked back on his heels and had that grandfatherly, big, hugging grin and said, ah, Ted, he said, I've never turned your resignation in.
He didn't believe you, huh?
Exactly. He was saving me from myself.
What'd you tell him?
Fred, I really appreciate your emotion, what you're doing, your friendship, your fatherliness, your care. But I'm really leaving.
That's funny. What subjects were you teaching at the university?
Actually, that has part of what to do, too, with my deciding to leave and things coming together. I was teaching originally English, then I switched over to speech communications, and because I was the person who had the most actual business experience, we were putting together events to help train the business community. But that was one of the things that didn't really help my integrity factor. because I knew that I didn't have a lot of the experience that someone teaching these people should have. What I had was sales and management experience. Advertising was developing at that point, direct marketing. But I knew if I didn't have it, they sure didn't have it. And then we were out there teaching people what to do, and you've heard of it, like book knowledge. I didn't really jive too well with book knowledge.
All right, you came back from Ted Thomas's, you quit your job, and how did you generate your first sale online back in 1994?
Well, back in 1994, you know, I'm going to tell you a story that is not the same way I would do it today. Because back in 1994, people were eagerly reading classified ads. And they had sites where there were hundreds of classified ads. Put them up free. AOL, CompuServe, Prodigy existed back then. And then, of course, there were regular Internet sites. And so in 94, now, by the way, by the time 95 rolls around, this has already changed. But you're asking about the first sale. In 94, I put an ad on AOL. It was a lead-generating ad, and all it did was it offered to give somebody a free special report how they could make $10,000 an hour. Now, the basic premise behind that was, and by the way, I had experience that did this, but the basic experience is if you are flipping a seller-held mortgage, you've generally got less than an hour's worth of time involved in it, in actually doing the work. And that was where the $1,000 an hour was.
So was that your information that you were selling when you got back from Ted Thomas seminar? You created an information product on how to flip mortgages?
That's it. I know that's another red, bloody story, too, about creating that. But that was it. So what I did, my AOL ad offered that lead-generating special report, which I actually physically mailed out. They physically filled out the old mail-order-style form, right, and sent it back in and ordered their product.
And did you sell a lot of those?
Oh, yeah. And as a matter of fact, I'm still selling that product today. The very first sale was for $97. The second sale was for $777. And the third sale was for $1,297. And when I got that $1,297 sale, you know, I took Sweetie out to eat, and we celebrated. You know, of course, I was still naive at that time. That was a huge, monumental victory. I thought I would celebrate every single time a $1,297 order came in, but they started coming in so fast because I was also doing other stuff that we all know to do, running classified ads in Entrepreneur, paying for other places and banner ads and everything. So, yeah, money just started coming in.
You were testing price. First one, $97. Second one, a different price. Is that why the price was going up? You were testing the demand?
Actually, I was testing price, and I was testing something else at the same time. I did what we strongly recommend, a good, better, or best option. And it just so happened that the first person took the good, and then the third person took the best. But what blew my mind, as the statistics settled out, what really happened is, over time, 40% of the people would order the $97 product. And those were not really the best customers. But what that means is 60% of the people, and by the way, it was actually 39 and 61, but, you know, we're talking about 60% of people would order the higher-priced products. You know, I said, what if I didn't have that higher-priced offer?
So the good, better, and best offer, is that a model you're still using today in your information marketing?
Oh, yes, it is. Now, it's not the only thing we do. As, for instance, when I'm offering, you know, my book, which you're well aware of, The New Think and Grow Rich, it's a book, it's a book, it's a book, it's a book, it's a book. All I can do is offer a free sample, you know, of intro, the preface, chapter one, and try and lead them into the book. But the purpose of the book, as an information marketer, you well know, is to get them to other stuff, which there's a number of different offers.
No, we're going to go into that model for sure. I just wanted to get a little history. So that was your first start, selling that mortgage course. You're still selling it today after almost 15 years, huh?
It's incredible, isn't it?
That is incredible. Over those years, did you develop different information products, or did you stick with the real estate type market?
Oh, yeah, Michael. I've had a career that's been changing like a chameleon, no? I went from that product, which brought me success on the Internet, also brought a bunch of people coming and asking me, how can I do this? Can you help me do this? And so I quickly transitioned into my main interests being Internet marketing. And again, I'd never know when I'm talking to someone how much background they have on me, but real quick, since I was a pioneer, people came to me, and then I said, okay, I'll start teaching, and I became in short order known as America's foremost Internet marketing consultant. And a lot of that just had to do with I had more information, that I was there first, and that I had a little bit of showbiz in my style. I was the original founder of what is even today a tremendous educational organization, World Internet summit.
Yep. The one in Australia?
Yeah.
What's the guy's name who runs that over?
Right now, it's Brett McFarl and Tom Huang. Now, I moved out of that into the New Think and Grow Rich, but those were my two ex-partners. I was the original founder, found Brett, and together Brett and I found Tom, and we went set out to conquer the world.
How many years have they or you as partners been putting that summit on?
That began in the year 2000.
And has there been one every year?
Oh, there's been more like four every year.
So you're doing it in the U.S., in Australia?
In the U.K., and in Asia.
So are you still partners with those guys?
No, last year I let that one go to focus more on my real newly developed passion, the New Think and Grow Rich, which is what you asked. The original question was, well, did you stick with that? I said, no, I started in mortgages, then I went to internet, and now I'm into the science of personal achievement.
Let's talk about this Think and Grow Rich. I think a lot of my listeners, and I for sure, have heard of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. Why do we need a new Think and Grow Rich?
Well, that was real simple, and that goes back into my history. It's because when I began trying to teach Think and Grow Rich, which my original intention, by the way, was never to rewrite the book, it was to teach the book. Because remember, I was circling the globe, and I've been back to these countries 1, 2, 3, 4 years in a row, and I was seeing that a lot of people were still having problems, and some people were succeeding instantly, such as in my own case, right? And so I thought deeper about that, because as a promoter, you know, you feel a responsibility. You don't want to sell crap. And so I said, well, why can't we get more people to have a better success rate was the question that was haunting me all the time. I said, okay, I know the answer. I need to teach Think and Grow Rich because it really is first things first. It's not resources, as Anthony Robbins says. It's resourcefulness that is the problem, that is the dilemma. I said, okay, I'm going to start teaching that. Well, in America, people say it's antiquated, it's sexist, it's racist. It's hard to read. People say that in America. But when you go outside of America where they don't even know the historical characters, it would just like getting a screen full of static or snow or something like that, right? And so I said, listen, this book is in public domain, which means that anybody can legally take it and change it, claim authorship, do whatever they want. I don't want to, you know, eliminate the roots. The roots is Think and Grow Rich. But two things, Michael. One, it needed to be modernized so that people could read it in today's language, so that they would have male and female examples, stories, and that they would be from different countries and, you know, all the stuff that is our reality today, which wasn't when it was written. And then also, of course, the biggest thing was at the time Napoleon Hill wrote that book, and this is not a slam against any religion, but we all know that in America there were some very rigid religious doctrines and could be political consequences. And if you wanted to say something related to the quantum realm, such as the law of attraction, you had to opt out to religion or mysticism, and that wasn't going to fly. It was just hard to talk about the things that with the science of quantum physics, there's only reality. There's only one reality. We're all intermixed. We're not separated. What we think affects what we see in our world. Everything is energy, and energy responds to thought. All those thoughts couldn't be said so easily as they could be said today. You know, editing and then saying the message the way it could be said.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Let me ask you this. You're in the not-get-rich field, but, you know, selling business opportunity, and you've sold other products. How do you compare, and what advice would you give to an information products marketer as far as selling a opportunity or selling just a product? Where's an advantage to selling opportunity?
Well, the advantage that I see is that an opportunity has a higher perceived price tag because you are selling money at a discount. In other words, instead of saying, buy this product because you're going to feel good, you're saying, buy this opportunity and you will convert your $1,000 into countless thousands of dollars.
And is that one of the main reasons you've stayed within the opportunity field?
Well, the honest truth, Michael, is I would have to be considered as a hybrid because the motivational field is not really the opportunity field. And now I have made it that way. In other words, saying, look, buy my product, I have the secret to wealth, is different than saying, look, buy my system. It's a business in a box. You plug it in, it's going to make you money.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Marketing the New Think and Grow Rich, I don't think you're selling a business opportunity. You're selling information.
Yeah. But following that model, yes, we have a program which we call Certified Mastermind Consultants, which actually is selling a business opportunity, which actually trains people, certifies people in everything they need to do to run a business. I mean, we've got courses that they can coach. They can coach them on an individual level, $3,000 a client. They can approach them small groups, as in corporations. They can put on 8-hour or 3-day seminars on this material.
All right, so you have a biz op that sells a package that teaches people how to be coaches and consultants.
Yes. In the information marketing industry, we know that we can make the most money and have the most impact and influence by helping, empowering other people to use this to make money themselves.
Is the new Think and Grow Rich part of that model? Is that the back-end product, or you have multiple back-end products? Or for our book publishers and our marketers, tell me the model and how you benefit by having a front-end product like the new Think and Grow Rich.
Well, for our marketers and information marketers with experience, this is going to be a review, which is always good. We like that. For the newbies, this is the way it works. It's called the funnel system. And the funnel is, imagine basically a funnel. Now imagine that that funnel, that depth dimension is divided. And so at the top, you've got something that you get the most people in, which is free or almost free. A 1995 book, which even when you get on Amazon, is not even that. And I'm giving samples away for free. So the idea is to get people in, to get them a taste. The concept that we know, there's two things operating here. Number one, people are not going to even request something for free if they don't have some nominal interest. For instance, if I saw that famous ad, hemorrhoids, I don't care for free, you know. I'm not going to ask for that free report. So you get something free, and then you start stepping up the price. Now, stepping up, which means it's actually going down the level of the funnel. In other words, if you would think at the next horizontal level of the funnel, maybe now you got something that's $50, now you got something that's $100, now you got something that's $200, $300, $500, $600, $700. And so our funnel basically starts from free. In other words, if you want a sample of the book, here it is. Now, it's up to me as a marketer to impress that person who has an interest in the subject matter, or they wouldn't have asked for it, to impress them enough to go to another product. And, of course, we've got other products. If, for instance, the beginning product is the new Think and Grow Rich, and in this business it is, that's the book, then we've got the audio, which I just took the book and read it into a recorder. And then we've also got different packages that we put together of interviews, such as we're doing today. Capture this interview, put it together, and now you've got a collection of them, you can sell them.
All right, so I'm getting an idea of your funnel. You get them in with the book. You've got a qualified prospect. The content in there is kind of not programming them, but educating them on how to be successful, and that's always an advantage. Are you primarily on the Internet? Are you an Internet business, or are you doing any offline stuff as well?
That's a good question, Michael. And again, with the passage of years, I've done back and forth with, you know, different models being dominant at any particular time. And right now, we're clearly Internet dominant. We're clearly doing most of what we do over the Internet. However, we are developing different products right now that are strictly designed for the street and won't actually be sold as products on the Internet. Will only be sold as programs when they're delivered in a coaching environment. So the answer is yes and yes.
What has been your most successful method in generating sales for your new Think and Grow Rich? A good marketer understands good marketing is doing a lot of things well. But is there one favorite method when it comes to leverage and effectiveness in generating online sales for your new Think and Grow Rich that you want to share?
Well, what we need to clarify, are we talking about units or are we talking about dollars?
Let's talk about each one separately. How about that?
That's the perfect approach. The easiest thing, the fastest thing, and the big gulps as far as units go are joint ventures. You know, if I do a telephone call with Alex Mendoza and Chet Holmes or Michael Senoff, and, you know, then we get the referral out, a lot of times we find a big impact, which is spikes, we call them. But the thing that really works, and I wrote this book, this is another one of my book titles, Mail Order in the Internet Age. In other words, for high-priced products, now we just switched the conversation from units into dollars. For high-priced products, mail outservices email 20 to 1.
Okay, so you're capturing mailing addresses on your online forms?
No, because those people haven't jumped through enough hoops.
Are you generating your direct mail leads through the Internet, or are you just going to traditional mailing lists?
Generating them through the Internet.
Are these leads who you're mailing to, have they purchased the new Think and Grow Rich?
That's the story. They've purchased anything. See, now the people who get the free sample, I am collecting their name and email address. I'm not collecting the other data to start the program. Now, by the way, other people do, so I'm not saying it's a bad model, but the model on which TEDCU operates under is I need to have a credit card before I send out any real mail.
Now, the new Think and Grow Rich, do you mail a physical book, or is this an e-book, or both?
People cannot buy the new Think and Grow Rich as an e-book.
Okay, so it is a physical printed book.
It is. Now, I do deliver it as a sample. I deliver the preface, the intro, and the first chapter is digital. And when people buy the new Think and Grow Rich, the physical book, I do deliver a digital version, which I have found a lot of people find has a lot of value, mainly because it's searchable and portable.
But one of the real benefits is you've got a mailing address.
Yeah.
And a credit card.
And a credit card. That's the one. That's, to me, in our business, when we've got a credit card is when they change from a suspect to a prospect. Because the whole issue is email is free, mail costs something, right? The whole idea behind direct response marketing is, look, you're buying customers at a discount. You're not going to go out there and be stupid with your money, otherwise you'll never make it. What you're going to do is you're going to put lead generators out. The people that raise their hand, and for us, raising their hand is putting a credit card down on a product of any value. We've got one product that only takes $2, but it's the value. Plus, we've also got something that we can auto-bill if they decide they want to do it. And so that's the point. At that point, then we start soliciting them both online and offline. Offline component, which is different. Online, we solicit leads. Because there's no cost, like anybody. But when we go offline, it's, did you give us money?
All right, hit home with this, because I think this is real important. You're going with a physically printed book. There's a lot of people out there who think, and probably there are some people and examples of people who have made a lot of money just with an e-book individually and not dealing with a printed physical book. Are they leaving money on the table?
In my opinion, they are.
You mentioned 20 to 1. To expand on that.
Well, our top-end product is a $10,000 price tag product. I don't know what the psychology is. I do not know. All I know is the numbers. But to me, when I speculate about the psychology, I think, well, people just need to think about a $10,000 investment. And a sales letter that's on their desk, that they put into their briefcase or put into their purse, that's just more material than a web page that they... Well, maybe they leave it up all evening, but, you know, they turn the computer down tonight and it never comes up again.
Okay, that's great. So from what I understand, physical book, you're able to get a credit card number, you're able to get a mailing address, you now have the ability to do direct mail for your higher price, higher margins products, which is a great marketing model.
That's the model, Michael.
Over the years, anyone selling business opportunities or information products, they do feel a responsibility to their customers. And we all know a lot of people don't do anything. It bothers me when someone spends money on a package and they don't do anything. Have you seen your new Think and Grow Rich really give people results and tools that can give them the success that they're looking for?
The answer is it's well proven that it does, yeah. One of the things that, unfortunately, we still struggle with some of the same statistics. In other words, neither you nor I nor Tony Robbins can change the fact that 90% of books that are bought are never read past the first chapter. On the other hand, I had a lady write me, it's brief and I'm going to read this to you, I just pulled it up. She wrote me this after owning Holo Magic Wealth Program just a couple of weeks. She said, I'm certainly enjoying listening to the Holo Magic program, and I found it quite inspirational, causing me to really focus on what I want, how to get there, and being specific in my goals. This, in turn, is inspiring me to become more organized and creating a plan. And then she goes on, I love this. I haven't yet achieved any results, but I am certain I will get there. Many thanks, Doreen Morrison. Now, what she said after just a couple of weeks, is the book working? Well, the whole thing balances against cause and effect. And that's the first words, by the way, the law of cause and effect in the actual book. Think is a cause. Grow rich is the effect. Think to grow rich. I wrote it back, you know, I said, what do you mean you haven't received any results yet? Now, I know maybe you haven't got a bank account right, but you are focusing on what you want and how to get there, and you're being specific in your goals, and you're becoming more organized, and you're creating a plan. I say, is this thing working or is it working, you know?
What is the universal law?
Well, there's a lot of universal laws and different aspects of it, and it's become real popular with the secret being out. For instance, the law of cause and effect is a universal law. In fact, by the way, this was one revolutionary idea when Napoleon Hill first printed it in 37. It's not revolutionary today, but, you know, you would expect it to be 77 years later. But that there is a system that you can discover, that you can follow, that you can implement to become rich. So the law of cause and effect is a universal law. Some other laws that we operate with today, the whole field which we've really taken the new Think and Grow Rich into, the whole field of quantum physics is interesting. The law of attraction is one I'd like to highlight because, again, the secret made it real popular. The reality of the matter is there is nothing but energy, and everything that appears solid is not solid. It has to do with the nervous wiring of the human body and the ways that we like to interpret things to be comfortable. But deep down, every school child knows this, by the way, that when you start going into the atom, then you go into electrons, and then there's nothing but energy. So what the quantum physicists are saying is that there's really nothing but energy. And they've discovered that the observer affects what they're observing. They've discovered a lot of times that what the observer is observing doesn't even exist. These particles, they call them energy packets. They don't call them things because they're not things. And what they've found is like a school of fish is that these things are controlled, not can be. They are controlled by human thought.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. By your mind, yeah.
By your mind. And when you start thinking and holding images of things, like a school of fish, you bring all these energy quanta that relate to that and correlate that to you. See, back when Napoleon was writing, you couldn't say this in logical language, but today we say it because it's so true. When you start thinking about something, you are creating that in your environment. And something real simple, two brothers, both had the same parents, both were exposed to the same opportunities. 25 years later, one is broken on Skid Row. The other one can look out his office window from the 67th floor in New York and see his brother down there. What is the difference? It was the way they thought. It was the things they thought about. It was the faith that they had. It was the things that they desired. It was the images that they held that inspired them to dream or not dream, to loaf or to work into the night. All these things are originated by thought. And quantum world, universal law, and again, there's more research for everybody to do. I'm not saying I gave a good summary, but the quantum world, when you think it, it's already true. Thoughts are things, which sounded metaphysical in 1937. Today, we know thoughts are things because everything is energy. A thought is an energy. A thought stimulates electrical activity. Everybody knows that. Even school kids have seen the electroencephalographs, you know, all over the head and all that. What's new is that we are creating things when we think about things. That's why people like you and I, business is always booming.
No, you're absolutely right. And with the science today, we've got the science to back it up. Maybe back in those times, people would think you're crazy. But today, there's irrefutable evidence and proof that what you're saying is true.
And that's why I feel so comfortable today. And I know very well what Napoleon was saying yesterday. And I wouldn't have felt comfortable saying it. And I would have said it the same way, too.
It's interesting. You're just giving an example of two people. I've got in my hand an ad by Maxwell Sackheim, and he was one of the greatest copywriters. Here's the headline. Both had an equal chance. Power of will made the difference. Why is it that two men with equal opportunity, with equal mental equipment, sometimes end up so differently? One fights his way to influence, money, and power, and overcoming seemingly insurmountable obstacles, while the other tries one thing after another, gradually losing his grip, never succeeding at anything. And it goes on. It's a full-page space ad. In the image is one guy in a top hat and an overcoat, and the other guy has his hat tipped, you know, begging for money. And this is a book. It was Helton Publishing Company. I don't have the copyright. I don't know because I don't have the actual book, but it's called The Power of Will. I mean, that's interesting. In that ad, that headline in that story, I'm sure you've heard, is probably responsible for one of the greatest ads of all time, which was the Wall Street Journal ad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Wall Street Journal, there were two brothers. They both grew up in the same town.
They weren't brothers. They were good friends.
Oh, two good friends. All right, so you know, that storyline, okay, for marketers and advertisers, that storyline is a very effective and powerful way to sell an idea.
It is, And the reason why it's a powerful sell is because for everybody, it's easy to understand. Like that Wall Street Journal letter. It's a two-page letter. And all it is it starts with this comparison and contrast, gives a few benefits of, obviously, the guy who's doing well off, what the Wall Street Journal offers, and then it ends with, oh, and those two friends go back as closure. It's a model ad. $1 billion winner, man.
Why do you think having written goals can make such a big difference? And do you really believe in that writing your goals can really make a difference? Because I've heard contradictory stuff that it's not as effective as maybe one may think. What's your opinion?
Well, I come down on the side where it's like major effective. Number one, you know, I've got the experience of years of myself being involved in this. And number two, I've got the experience of thousands and thousands of clients and feedback and everything. Having a written goal does two things. Number one, it forces you to get definite. Now, if you could get definite without having it written, I might say, okay. But it's kind of like this riddle about motorcycles and helmets, you know. Some people will say, well, listen, I'm safer on a bike. I don't believe that, but let's not even argue that. I step ahead to the next concept. Maybe you think that you can see better and that you could be more flexible and think, okay. But if you do have an accident, if you do, you cannot tell me that you're better off than being inside of a car being seatbelted in, because you're a missile that's flying in the air if you're on a bike and you hit something. So it's the consequences if something happens. It's the same kind of concept with written goals. If you could define them as clearly and as in-depth without writing them, maybe I would say, okay. But I've never seen anybody who could get the precision and the fire in them to create them completely firm without writing them. See, number one, it clarifies. Number two, it's that written record that's always there, that always reminds you, that you can use for inspiration. That when you wake up and you don't remember what's going on, or maybe you were working late the night before and you wake up a little groggy, you can pull out your goal card or you can look up on the wall and you, it's a reminder. Boom, you're back in state.
Got it. You've equated wealth with a lot of freedom and independence. So let's talk about building wealth. What do you think is the first step that someone with nothing can do to get started?
Well, someone with nothing needs to sell something. They don't have to create that. They don't have to write the sales letter. What they want to do is start directing people there. And someone with truly nothing can start by signing up for an affiliate program, for instance, and start telling friends about it. You get your first dollar, then you buy a Google ad. There's really two things in the long term, but what, number one, to start, is you've got to start making money. But in the long term, what you're really doing is you're making money and you're building for a future at the same time, simultaneously.
That makes sense. Tell me why you teach you can't get something for nothing. If abundance is supposed to be easy, how does that work?
Well, and that comes up very often with this secret mentality. But basically, it's the law of cause and effect. Basically, it's the law of sow and you shall reap. It's the law of, okay, I admit, you don't have 100,000 people on your database. Are you going to whine or are you going to get your first five on your database? If you don't deliver, you can't receive. It's like the fire doesn't start up, get you warm, and then you go outside and bring in the wood. You bring in the wood, you break the ice, you bring it in, you start the fire with a little kindling and tinder, and then you get the fire. It's this universal law. One of the big problems that keeps people from actually taking proactive steps. If anybody wants advice how to become active, how to become wealthy, is start today. Never buy another lottery ticket. Never even imagine that that's how you're going to make the money and the wealth in your life. And go to work.
Get to work. Give me a few action tips that our listeners can commit to using right away to focus on positive things or the abundance that they want in their life and want to build.
Number one, realize in your heart and soul that it is a quantum world, and realize that just by the fact that you are holding images in your head, you are creating more of whatever you have in your head. Now, that's the first step, to realize that it's a quantum world, to realize that what is in your head is manifesting, whether that's concern about not being able to pay the bills or whether that's confidence about paying the bills. Now, once you get that, number one, you know, this is the way the universe works, then number two, start creating, and I recommend chapter one in the New Thinking, Grow Rich, start creating those images of fulfillment. What is it that you want to contribute? What is it that you would do if you weren't getting paid, if money was no object? What would you do? Because you've got to be productive. We've already settled that, right? What does that look like? What are people telling you around that? What are you doing? Are you celebrating? Are you achieving? For instance, one of the things that I always use as a goal image is the million copy mark. You know, a million copies of the new thing, and really, bang, 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 you know, we're out dancing and celebrating. If the universe works in a way that what you hold in your mind, which again, quantum science says it does, and that's the whole message of the new thinking grow rich, if it does, then the first step, and by the way, there's so much more than the first step, but the first step is to start creating those images of achievement, and that's where I would start.
What's the best business, in your opinion, based on all your experience in marketing, internet marketing? What would you advise if you had a brother who wants to get into business? He said, Ted, what's the best business I should get into? What would you tell him?
I would say you need to take a look at information marketing / internet marketing because the margins are so big and because you can build continuity income. I would say you need to take a look at real estate. Again, the same thing because we're dealing with numbers that make sense, i.e. if you're dealing with a $250,000 house, it only makes sense that it's going to be easier for you to make $40,000 than it is if you're dealing with a $40 ebook. And I would say you need to look at stock and or options trading. Now, these are all, as you'll notice real quick, all things that the entrepreneur could do, the individual could do, which is really my main market. But, you know, information marketing, of course, is the business that you and I are in. And, you know, just yesterday I sold a product for $997, and the actual cost of the product was about $20. And I did have to ship it. It was overseas. So it was about $97.
Yeah, the margins are out of this world.
You know, and again, I do have a number of products that I identify as high leverage. And that's it. You know, I'd say internet marketing, of course, information marketing, real estate, and stock and trading.
All right, let's talk for about 5 minutes. So tell me, what are you up to now? Tell me more about this Holo Magic. What is it? Holo Magic Wealth Programming. What is this?
Holo Magic Wealth Programming. It's the only deep trance wealth programming system in the world. It's a hypnosis program based on the new Think and Grow Rich using the neural synergist sound technology.
Well, isn't this stuff a whole bunch of BS? What are you going to tell me?
Well, some people do have that opinion. They are usually the uneducated or opinionated. So the first thing, which I wouldn't say directly to you if you'd made that remark, but if you were someone thinking that remark, I would say, why don't you do a little bit more investigative work?
Let's do that. Tell me a little bit more about it. How did this product originate?
Long story, but remember I told you I found that people weren't able to understand the original Think and Grow Rich?
Yes.
So I wrote the new Think and Grow Rich, and I still encountered people that couldn't understand that. And I said, oh, of course, learning styles. So I put it into audio because a lot of people get it a whole lot better. It's so much easier to understand in audio when you got the inflections, et cetera. And then said, oh, yeah, well, that's doing better, all right. But, you know, part of it is that even when people hear that they need, for instance, to decide what they want to do with their life, they don't do it. They listen to it, and then tape keeps running, right? So we put together a hypnosis program in which we created these spaces, created the environment to go deep, to let your inner self talk to you. By the way, I am a certified hypnotherapist, and I do have a preaching credential, minister credential, so there's ethics in there also. But, you know, I went and found who I think is the top sound engineer in the entire world. He certainly is in Australia. He used to do work with rock groups and stuff like that, but now he's all into personal development. And what we found, and you know this to be true, that different sounds create different states. For instance, if you hear your fingernail scraping on a chalkboard, that's going to create a different physical state in you than it will if you hear daffodils swaying in the wind. And the sound of a dolphin has a harmonic resonance with something in your callosum, and another sound, the sound of compressed cosmic waves. I mean, these are the sound of solar waves, waves coming off of the sun, energy. With computer equipment, now we can compress them, make them into an audible sound. And these sounds awaken certain higher powers, so we put all this way modern sound technology in with what is, again, like a lot of stuff. The New Thinking Grow Rich philosophy is profound, but it's not absolutely new. And neither is brain entrainment. That's been around for a few years. But this stuff about these different sounds and frequencies, and what we've been encountering is that people go into, you've heard this thing, like, and it's really happening. You know, go into a trance like a Zen monk has been meditating for 20 years. Well, people do go into a state where they've never been before, where they don't remember where they were when they were there, and they come out with No, they've taken the time at their highest, deepest, most profound levels to ask themselves what it is, for instance, that they want to do and how they're going to do it, to let their inner guidance tell them. It's crazy stuff. The difference in power between symbols, which is words on a book, how they connect with you, versus come, sit on the couch.
So this program, is it an audio program integrated with these sounds that put you in a state to make you more receptive to the teachings of the book?
Absolutely, and it guides you through them. It starts with your vibratory frequencies and the rhythms and the brain entrainment, incorporates these sounds, and of course it goes through all the different brain waves. It starts in beta, and then alpha, delta, theta, and moves back and forth through these things. And it's programming. The basic premise that we use to form the program is that the reason why people know what to do, as in they've read the book, The New Thinking Grow Rich, but can't get themselves to do it, is because their conscious desires are in conflict with their subconscious desires. Their subconscious desires, and this is not an exaggeration, this is the level we were thinking at. For instance, they were bottle fed when every animal wants the milk of its mother. So what did they learn when they were bottle fed and they were neglected and they learned, I can't have what I want? Subconscious level. But what happens is they learn this prior to the time of being 2 years old. At 2 years old, they leave the realm of theta brainwaves and they never visit that realm again. What this program does is it takes you back into that realm and now lets you reconfigure. Reprogram is an appropriate word, you know, what you think about and how you're moving forward.
How many hours of audio is it? It's 13 sessions?
It's 13 sessions, and the sessions range from 22 minutes up to 36 minutes.
And is this a patented technology with your sound engineer?
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, he's real fanatic about that, too. It's called Neural Synergist Sound Technology. And by the way, if you want to make them go through the roof, call it Holo Synergist.
Is this technology being used in other methods for peak performance in other areas?
Yes, it is. He's a scholar, a consultant. Like I said, he used to work with musicians, but he really didn't find that a satisfying lifestyle. Deeply, in fact, infatuated with sounds. So now he's working with sports people and companies and individuals.
Very interesting. Who is this guy?
He's my partner on this project. He's Michael Gardner.
Okay. Where's he out of?
He is out of Melbourne, Australia.
That's very interesting. Ted, how can someone learn more about you and your book, The New Think and Grow Rich?
Well, Michael, I'll tell you what. We've got a site, of course, and that's holomagic.com, which is H-O-L-O-M-A-G-I-C, holomagic.com. But I was talking with Jean, your assistant, and she said, hey, why don't you put together a sample of the book, and just so anybody who wants to see a sample of the book, just go get a sample of the book. Michael, it's been great. You're very sharp. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks very much, and enjoyed some of the audio interviews on my site. My philosophy here is the philosophy we're talking about. You know, I give till it hurts. Give and you shall receive. It will come back to you, and I've got some incredible audio on hard-to-find seminars that we just give away for free. And obviously, I do market and sell stuff, but anyone who doesn't have the money can get a wealth of information there at the site, so spread the word.
That's a fact, Michael. I've looked it over. You do have a lot of good stuff.
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. It's Michael with Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com in another bonus tip. How would you like to turn your $28 book or ebook or even a concept in your head into a $3,900 information product? I'll provide you the secrets on how to do this. If you'd like a completely free 30-day trial of my system for turning your simple book or even just a concept in your mind into an information product that you can sell for $97, $197, or even as much as $3,900 or more. This system includes a whole range of tricks and tips to help you pack your audio program full of great stories that take control of your listeners' brains. My information product creation system comes with my personal guarantee that you'll create an information product worth from $97 to $497 that's designed to sell like hotcakes. This is a 30-day free trial. If you'd like information on this, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line, write in all caps, 28 $28 book, and I'll email you information on how to turn your $28 book or even a concept in your mind into a $3,900 information product. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff, HardToFindSeminars.com. Here is another bonus tip and a valuable service that I offer to select clients. If you can talk into an ordinary telephone, you could be selling your own high-priced audio programs in as little as 7 days. This is the easiest way on earth to create a series of powerful audio recordings for your own information product. I call you on an ordinary telephone and interview you live on a series of related hot topics about your niche subject. I take care of all the editing, all the technical stuff, and I give you the finished MP3s or WAV files and audio transcripts. I only have time to give this deluxe personalized service to a few more carefully selected clients. If you're interested in developing and creating your own valuable information products that you could have complete in as short as 7 days and be selling for as high as $300, $500, even $3,900, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com, or you may call me at 858-274-7851. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you and giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. This tip is one that is dear to my heart, and the reason why is because I know what a difference it can make for your business. It has to do with editing your audio recordings. If you are using audio online or offline to sell, market, and educate your prospects, this tip will be the most important tip you ever hear from me. Editing your audio content before you publish it to your site simply gets better results compared to unedited audio content. Think about this. A new song on the radio may be in the editing studio for months before it's released to the public. A new movie may take years in the editing process before it's released to the big screen or on DVD. Well-written sales letters, online promotions, books, and commercials are all meticulously edited to perfection before they are released. You would never dream of releasing an unedited version of any of these sales vehicles, so why would you publish unedited audio? Unedited audio content is abandoned by the listener faster, it produces less sales for you, and it actually destroys your credibility as a publisher. So why are we seeing so much unedited content proliferating the internet? The reason is simple. There are very few people who offer audio editing services who know what they are doing. Editing audio is kind of like plastic surgery. It's part skill and part an art form. You need someone with both the skill to do it and someone who understands marketing and selling. A poor result can be gained by both a skilled surgeon as well as a good technical editor. Who you choose to do your audio editing can be one of the best investments in your business. At HardToFindSeminars.com, we have been editing online and offline web content for 6 years. We have perfected a proprietary editing system that has been proven to get your customers to listen to your audio content longer and to listen to it more often, resulting in more sales for you more often, and with clean, edited audio, you can demand more money for your products and services. It's just like in life, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Every time you release and publish unedited audio content, you are projecting a poor, sloppy, I don't care attitude that turns your prospects off. Do your prospects a favor. Service them. Give them your best. Do them a favor by giving them professionally edited audio messages, interviews, teleseminars, and selling promotions by editing your audio. We provide full audio editing services that are fast and at a reasonable rate. We know that editing your audio content can easily pay for itself 20 times over. Call me, Michael Sunoff, for more information at 858-274-7851. I'll spend some time on the phone with you. We'll determine what audio content you're publishing. I'll be glad to offer you a free consultation on my ideas. I'll review some of your audio, and together we'll come up with a solution that gets you better results. Thanks for listening. Here is another bonus tip from Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Did you know that I have about 25 hours of exclusive consultations on my audio clips page, letter G? If you go to HardToFindSeminars.com, go to the audio clips section. This is a section where I have over 117 hours of audio interviews. Page G is nothing but consultations on information product development. You have over 25 hours of me giving my best advice on how to create, develop, produce, market, and sell audio information products. Go to page G if you want to learn how to create and market your own information products. Enjoy. There's an interview in the section of the audio recordings at Hard to Find Seminars. It's with a business buying expert. His name is Art Hamill. If you go back to my site, HardToFindSeminars.com, and go to the product section, along the left side in light blue, you will see a list of topics. Look for the one that says business buying. Click on that link and you'll be taken to about 7 hours of exclusive interviews with Arthur Hamill. Arthur Hamill has purchased multi-million dollar businesses, over 200 of them in his lifetime, and he will tell you how to do the same thing. It's some fascinating content, and I wanted you to know about it. Here's another tip, and it has to do with podcast. Did you know that not only are all 187 hours of my audio recordings available for free online at my website, HardToFindSeminars.com, but each one of these audio recordings is also in the form of what's called a podcast. A podcast is a simple way for you to digitally and automatically subscribe to online and new recordings and have them downloaded into your mobile audio player, like an iTunes, iPod, or any other digital audio playing device. But the way you find my recordings on podcasts is by going to one of the number one sites called iTunes. iTunes is a virtual library for music, spoken word, and podcasts. The music and spoken word audios you'll pay money for, but the podcasts are absolutely free. And you can subscribe to my podcast. All you do is go to iTunes. You'll automatically download the iTunes software, and then you will search Michael Sinoff in the subject line, and you will find most of my audio recordings right there available for you to download. This is great if you're on the road or you're on another computer, and if you have a mobile device, it'll automatically suck them right into your digital MP3 player, and you can take any of the audio recordings on the road with you. They'll also automatically notify you of any new recordings that I post as podcasts. Also, if you search through Google or Yahoo or any of the major search engines, Michael Sinoff, and then podcast, you'll find other resources with other podcast search engines that host my podcast. I hope this helps, and if you're a podcast listener, I think you'll be happy about this. So go over to iTunes and download the iTunes software. software and search Michael Senoff, and you'll have all my audio recordings available for you right there. If you'd like to hone your skills as a copywriter, I have available for you the largest collection of one of the all-time master copywriters. His name is Claude Hopkins. Do a search on Claude Hopkins or go to my website, ClaudeHopkinsAdvertising.com. Claude Hopkins was one of the founders of modern-day advertising. He was one of the all-time legends in the industry, and myself and a partner have authored a book called The Claude Hopkins Advertising Collection. We have also searched thousands of newspapers to pull out all his classic ads. He's been responsible for building companies like Pepsodent Toothpaste, Palmolive, Schlitz Malt Liquor, many household products like puffed wheat cereal that you're still using in your kitchens today. And he was the master and the genius behind this. He was responsible for many of the cars we drive today, like the Oldsmobile. Go check it out, ClaudeHopkinsAdvertising.com. If you want the ultimate in education on how to write copy, you cannot pass this up. So go on over to ClaudeHopkinsAdvertising.com and learn from the best. Here is another bonus resource for you, and it's about a section on my site that has about 15 hours of audio interviews with copywriting experts, including Brian Keith Voiles, including Carl Galletti, including Eugene Schwartz. You will not find this content anywhere. It'll take you to an entire collection of audio recordings, MP3 downloads, and transcripts of some of my best interviews on the subject of copywriting. You'll be able to play them, download them, print the transcripts, and it's a collection you will not find anywhere else. If you want an education on copywriting, you will not find anything better than this. If you go back to my site, and in the products page, along the light blue section down on the left, you're going to see another link that has a lot of value, and it all has to do with joint ventures. Go to that page, and you're going to hear about an offer on a joint venture system like no other. If you read the letter there, it'll describe all the benefits, and the offer is virtually risk-free, meaning you can order my joint venture system, have it sent to you without paying a dime, have 30 days to review it, to digest all the information, and only if you're happy with it after 30 days do you pay. It's an offer you can't lose on, and if you're enjoying this content, you're really going to love what I have waiting for you on the joint venture link at the products page at hardtofindseminars.com. Go check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it.